Greetings, listeners. This is Ralph Edwards, a.k.a. Warren, from the Concrete Gang and Creatures of the Industry podcast. I feel privileged to introduce the Concrete Gang 50th Anniversary Archive, because this is the 50th anniversary of the Concrete Gang on Community Radio 3CR, first started by the rank and file of the BLF, and now presented by the rank and file of the CFMEU. We've been presenting a weekly program about our industry and the struggles it's faced over those 50 years. In fact, since 3CR first went to air in February 1976. This archive comes in two parts. First, the good old days, inverted commas, when it was recorded on reel-to-reel and then recorded over. So, special thanks to our loyal listeners who have recorded them on their cassette tape recorders as they listened on a Sunday morning, and save them for everyone to enjoy again. Second part of the archive is when we entered the 21st century in the early 2000s and the show was digitally recorded and kept as we went. So the material, although patchy in its continuity, shows the transition of the Concrete Gang over 50 years, in those two parts of approximately 25 years each. So enjoy the listen, and thanks to all those who presented the program and all those who helped get it to air. You will find it on www.3cr.org.au/Concrete Gang 50 Years, all one word. Dare to struggle, dare to win.
We're putting up new buildings, we're knocking down the old. We're working in the summer heat and in the winter cold. And the labour power we sell, me boys, for a hard-earned weekly pay produces mighty profits for the greedy MBA. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fighting history and we never will be cowed. A builder's labourer is a name to make a man feel proud. And whether we were born here or born in Italy, in Greece or Spain or Ireland, in England or Fiji, we all of us are workers, and united we must stand until the wealthy bludgers have been driven from our land. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fighting history and we never will be cowed. A builder's labourer is a name to make a man feel proud.
Welcome to another edition of Concrete Gang, and tonight we're going to mainly concentrate on the current log of claims. But before we go into that, I'd like to remind you that on 3AR, on Monday nights at 10:15, you can hear the Builders Labourers History, which is a redo of the Builders Labourers History programs that were on 3CR last year. And there are two of these shows left, so if you can catch them, do so, because they're pretty good. And we'll go straight into a song by an American folk artist called Woody Guthrie, and it's called Jackhammer Man, and the singers are Richie Haven and Pete Seeger.
Bring the people some electric light. Lord, Lord, got them jacked.
That was a Woody Guthrie song called Jackhammer Man. It's a pity the bosses don't give us the same applause for the work we do on the Jackhammers anyway. On the 18th of May, the union issued the following newsletter on the campaign for a $30 increase.
The campaign is now well underway throughout Australia. Numerous jobs in Victoria have taken action, such as walking off for the day, refusing to start a concrete pour, turning away suppliers, banning of overtime. On Tuesday the 17th of May, seven city jobs stopped work and marched to the Master Builder's office to demonstrate the demand for the $30 increase. At the hearing before the Arbitration Commission on a Tuesday afternoon, the Commission was told that we intended to continue the campaign for the $30. The spokesman for the National Master Builders has agreed to hold talks with the union, commencing Wednesday the 25th of May. On the basis of the National Master Builders agreeing to hold the talks, the union has agreed to a truce until the conclusion of the talks. If the talks are not successful, then job activity will recommence. One suggestion that has come from job meetings is that decisions should be made on jobs to take an afternoon smoker. An afternoon smoker in the building industry is well overdue and is one of our claims on the employers. All forms of job activity should be considered in line with our policy of most harm to the boss with least harm to ourselves.
Following the stop work meeting for our national $30 wage increase, held on seven city sites with rank and file members marching on the NBA headquarters to be confronted with the police peace force of approximately 50, who were there quite naturally to look after all builders' labourers' health so the nasty NBA could not, in their vast numbers, antagonise approximately 400 builders' labourers who attended this stop work meeting. At 2:15 in the afternoon at the Arbitration Commission, Secretary Norm Gallagher presented our case for our justifiable wage increase. Norm Gallagher stated in the previous dispute with the scaffolding companies for their $30 increase that according to the Arbitration Commission, this amount was outside the guidelines of the Commission, and Commissioner Brand said that he would have nothing to do with it whatsoever. 15 minutes after this, the scaffolding companies called the union to a private meeting outside the Commission and immediately agreed to the $30 increase. Norm Gallagher said that as this victory was outside the Commission guidelines, that we were once again willing to negotiate at any time to meet the NBA, and the union will once again win through independent bargaining. We are not interested in arbitration. As has been shown, independent bargaining with the multinationals is the only way the builders' labourers is victorious.
In the studio tonight, we've got three blokes from interstate, Mick and Patty from the south and Neil from the west, and we're going to take the opportunity to ask them how the campaign is going over there. And so I'll direct the first question at you, Patty. What sort of action are the boys taking in South Australia?
Well, I had the privilege of attending a meeting of approximately 70 builders' labourers recently at the power station in South Australia, and there the men, they voted unanimously to support the Federation in any sort of campaign, whether it's, you know, one of passive aggression or physical aggression or even violent aggression, because for a long time now, builders' labourers in South Australia, they've been regarded as sort of second-class citizens, and they're not going to cop it any longer, and they're just going to go all out now, or all in, as the case may be, for $30 a week, and that's it.
And you think the campaign will be successful?
Very successful, comrade.
And what about in the West, Neil?
Well, in the West, there've been job meetings on all the major projects in Perth, and there's been strong support for the campaign from all those jobs. They've been carrying out their own guerrilla tactics on the various jobs, overtime bans, delaying concrete pours and so on. And the builders who are operating with a pretty small margin because of the fact that there's strong competition for the few jobs are feeling the pinch already, and we're looking to see them buckle very shortly.
The blokes in the West are on the lowest rate of pay in the country for builders' labours, aren't they? And it's also, the West has got one of the highest costs of living. That's something that needs to be, the boys over there need to look into, no doubt.
Yes, well, the fellas in the West have been screaming about this for some years now, that they have the highest cost of living in Australia, and yet they have the lowest rates of pay.
I think in Western Australia, Neil, they've also got the highest profits as well, maybe because you've got the lowest rates of pay.
Yeah, well, that's undoubtedly a fact, because the same builders operating in the eastern states of Australia, of course, put the difference in their pocket, where in the West at least, put the difference in their pocket, whereas in the east they've got to pay higher wages instead.
I hear there's been a lot of attacks on the union movement in Western Australia. Neil, over court has been trying to introduce scabs there, and he's been doing it in a very devious way through the legal system, as they usually do. And I think he's trying to legalise a system there where you don't need to be a unionist to get in on a job. He's trying to ruin the system of no ticket, no start.
Yes. Last year they brought in a system of legalised scabbery. They amended the laws so that a man could apply to the industrial registrar for an exemption from union membership and pay a sum of money and still work on the jobs. But I must say that the fellas on the jobs have been very strong to resist this. They've, within days of this provocation, they threw several men off some of the big jobs in town that tried to test this out, and they've been strong ever since. And as far as we're concerned, in the West, a union exemption means that a man's wasted his money because he's still got to buy his union ticket to get on the job.
Well, that's good to hear that, Neil. I reckon if the boys stick together, we've got them beat every time. Anyway, Mick, what do you think the employer's reaction is to the Federation's log of claims?
Well, it seems quite obvious that the employers, the Master Builders Association and the Employers Federation, have launched a quite concerted attack on the rights of the builders' labourers by serving a counter-log of claims on the Federation. For example, Clause 41A of the employer's log states here that an employee, when working for more than 1 hour in the shade in places where the temperature is raised by artificial means to between 46 degrees and 54 degrees Celsius, and that's pretty hot, 16 cents per hour will be paid, you know. And, you know, it's okay for these people to say this, but then the bosses are sitting in their cool air-conditioned offices and they're expecting the men work in these type of conditions. Now, what compensation is that going to be to our rank and file people if they either drop dead from a heart attack or heat exhaustion? And there are other counterclaims in their log, for example, this clause here: the Federation shall not in any way, whether directly or indirectly, be a party to or concerned in any ban, limitation or restriction upon the performance of work in accordance with this award. With this award, I mean. This is all, you know, part and parcel of Fraser and the multinationals' attack on the working class to promote scabbery in every kind of industry. And what that means, if you read through the fine print of it, is if, for example, two scabs come on the job who are non-unionists and the union members placed a ban in that area where these people were working, according to this, they are directly breaking the law. And I think people should realise that this is what Fraser is trying to push through with his Industrial Relations Bureau. Another attack here is on the elected organisers of the union. These people are elected as organisers by rank and file members on the job. The employers have served on their counter-log of claims. One, organisers only to come onto the sites at lunchtime. Clause two, that they only speak to members in the lunch shed. and clause 3 that no organiser visit the site more than once per week. Now, what this means is, take a city like Melbourne, and I don't come from Melbourne, I come from South Australia, but you've got a lot of big sites in this town, and what it would mean is that, say, 3 or 4 sites need an organiser to be present at the same time, and there wasn't just the organisers to go around, you just wouldn't get organisers. And it means that the rank and file members are just going to lose contact with their elected officials, which they pay their union dues, you know, to elect these people to look after their interests. And I think the employers have just come out with this very concerted and vicious attack on the rights of the builders' labourers and their logger claims. But at the same time, I think the builders' labourers are intelligent people, and they realise that the employers are no friends of theirs, and that they're only out to have a go at the rights of the working class. And I think that the solidarity of the builders' labourers, as has been shown before, will always shine through, and I think the builders' labourers, with a united front, will win this battle with no worries. I think the bosses are in for a big shock on this.
And this is unreal, the attacks on the working class since Fraser's been in. And I think we'll have to be very aware that these attacks are going to increase in intensity, and we'll have to keep together and fight, and we'll win, as we always do.
Yeah.
You're listening to the 50-year anniversary archive of the Concrete Gang. Unbelievable that we're still going. So listen on.
Let's drink to Frank the Doggy, boys. You bush girls, don't you cry, for Frank on the rise today beneath the southern skies. He rides around the campfire where Australians speak their mind, and the bushmen listen warmly, cause they like Frank Gardner's kind. He rolls the wind mountains with Gilbert and Ben Hall. They laugh at death and danger, they fear no man at all. They robbed the bone sold escort with 5 others that they knew. It was £14,000 that day the Gardner gang withdrew. Now Frank the dog, he knew too well, 'twas him the trap would see. So he journeyed up to Queensland and stopped at Athens Creek. He settled down and made a home at the law on robbery ground, and the troopers sent back from the creek to say Frank Gardner's found. Let's drink to Frank the doggy, boy, you bush girls, don't you cry, for Frank Gardner rise today beneath the southern skies. He lives around the campfire where Australians speak their mind, and the bushmen listen warmly, cause they like Frank Gardner's mind. 32 years was the prison term, the death that Frank must pay. He served 10 years and then was free, he'd sail away. Banished he was with heavy heart, he left his native land. Never would the darky ride again, a pistol in his hand. And yet when years had drifted by around San Francisco Bay, Australia's wild bush rangers saw Australian ships away. He wanted to return again to Australia's gentle ground, to the life that he had lived so well and the friendships that he found. And yet around the wedding where the hills and gullies rise, when night enfolds darkness on the ridges and on skies, I hope Frank Gardner got his wish and rides there through the pause. I hope the darkie made it home at last. Let's drink to Frank the darkie, boys, you bush girls, don't you cry, for Frank Gardner rides today beneath the southern skies. He rides around the campfire where Australians speak their mind, and the bushmen listen warmly, cause they like Frank Gardner's kind. And the bushmen listen warmly, cause they like Frank Gardner's kind.
That was The Ballad of Frank Gardner, sung by Roger Thwaites off an album called 200 Years. Earlier with the interview with the blokes, Neil mentioned the attempts by court to encourage scavvery through legal means in the West, and the recent Industrial Relations Bureau of Fraser also sort of tries to do similar things, amongst many other things, of course. Mick, what do you think of Hawke's sort of resurrection of the penal powers? Is more or less sell out of the opposition to the Industrial Relations Bureau?
Well, I mean, I think that's a very good question. I think Bob Hawke has shown his true colours, that he's a sellout for the working class. He's definitely no friend of the working class people of Australia. And I think that the working class people of this country now realise just what Bob Hawke is. He's nothing but a sellout ever since he's held that particular position as ACTU president. He's never done anything constructive for the working class. In fact, in our own union, the Builders Labourers Federation, he sold our State Secretary Les Robinson and the then organiser Ron Owens out in 72 with Adriatic Terrazzo. He's also sold out other disputes with various other working class people. For example, just take the recent air traffic controllers dispute. I think the people of Australia are waking up to this bloke, and he's showing his true colours. He's definitely not a friend of the working class. I mean, you only have to look at the front page of the paper to see him sitting around drinking cups of tea with Malcolm Fraser, Philip Lynch and Tony Street. And any bloke that does that and represents himself as a friend of the workers soon gets exposed. And I think Hawke's just shown his true colours with his sellout with the IRB.
Concrete Gang has got stuck into Hawke quite a few times before. And his activities in Victoria have been fairly notorious in his representation of the employers while pretending to represent the workers. Do you think workers are going to cop this recent business with the Industrial Relations Bureau?
No, well, I think that just shows a complete pig-headed attitude of Mr. Hawke. He obviously thinks the working class are an unintelligent type of people who just believe what the media tells them. And I think that Mr. Hawke's in for quite a big shock, because the working class people are a lot more intelligent than he thinks they are, despite the fact that he tries to communicate with them on, as he says in his own terms in The Australian not so long ago, their own language by swearing and so forth. And I think Hawke's in for a big shock, you know. The working class just aren't going to cop someone like that that sells them out to the bosses.
Neil, the press often leaves the West out quite a lot, and it, I suppose it tends to encourage, you know, a feeling of separateness and all this sort of business. But what do the blokes over there think of Hawke? I mean, he hails from the West, isn't he, originally?
Yeah, that's right. He's a Perth boy. As a Snedden, incidentally, but certainly Hawke goes back home to see his folks every now and again and gets a bit of a headline in Perth. But I'd say up to 3 years ago, there was fairly strong support for Hawke as a strong ALP man. Support that came from the workers on site, but for sure now, despite what the media does for Hawke, the support's evaporated quite markedly, and I think you get very few votes amongst the folks on site these days.
Well, it's a sign of the times, I suppose. Well, yes. Well, I'd just like to thank the boys for coming in. It was a real bonus, and hope they get back home and keep struggling. And I'd like to. We'd also like to apologise for not playing some interviews from Jobs as we had promised last week, but since the blokes came over from interstate, it was an opportunity we couldn't really afford to miss. And next week we'll be having some interviews from Collins Place, the State Savings Bank job in Bourke Street, and elsewhere too. So we'll see you again next week. However, before we go, I really must encourage people, if they're not listener sponsors of 3CR, to become so, because there's a listener sponsor drive on at 3CR at the moment, and without people supporting the station financially, because the government certainly doesn't give us a cent. The bosses don't give us a cent through advertising, and quite the contrary, they'd really like to crush us. So if you do support 3CR, it's really worthwhile forking out $5 or $10 to become a listener sponsor. And if you would like to become a listener sponsor, we would really encourage you to ring the station on 419-2569 or 419-3859, and we'll send you the form so that you can become a listener sponsor, and you do have a real say in the station too. So we'll see you again until next week, and we're signing off with a Tommy Makem song called The Wind Is Bringing Freedom.
Singing freedom, they sing it everywhere. They sing it on the mountainside and in the city square. They sing of a new day dawning when our people will be free. Come and join the song.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio Melbourne. That was a repeat program of the Builders Labourers Federation Concrete Gang, which was last aired on Wednesday. The time is 25 minutes past 6 o'clock, and I was just handed a promotional leaflet which says that the Zodiac Youth Committee presents Frank Trainor's Jazz Preachers tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at the Alexander Theatre, Monash University. Tickets are $3, which includes supper, but there are a couple of free tickets available, and if you want to receive them, please ring 277-8801. $3 includes supper, but there are a couple of free tickets available. Please ring 277-8801. That's for Frank Trainor's Jazz Preachers concert tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at the Alexander Theatre, Monash University. And this is a very special request for a lady who lives north of the city.
Thank you so much. From the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate it. You're too kind.
He can't keep his mind on nothing else. He changed the world for the good thing he's found.
Yeah.
If she's bad, he can't see it, 'cause she can do no wrong. Turn his back on his best friend if he put her down. When a man loves a woman, spend his very last dime trying to hold on to what he needs. He'd give up all his comfort and sleep out in the rain if she say that's the way it's gotta be. And when this man loves a woman, I give you everything I have.
Thank you for listening to The Concrete Gang 50-year anniversary archive, all those episodes where we dared to struggle and we dared to win, and hopefully you've enjoyed it and come back and listen to some more. You will find it on www.3cr.org.au/Concrete Gang 50 Years. Thank you very much.